Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we are going to talk about a really interesting topic, how to get referrals without asking. And speaking on this topic is our guest, Stacy Randall. Stacy Brown Randall dared to ask the question, can we receive referrals without asking for them? After a painful business failure, her quest was to build and grow a second successful business by nailing client generation, which led her to develop her five-step process to unleashing a referral explosion. Stacy is the author of Generating Business Referrals Without Asking and host of the Roadmap to Grow Your Business podcast. She's also a wife to one, mother to three, and champion of the entrepreneurial dream for all. Welcome to the show, Stacy.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So really interesting background, and looks like you have your hands full with mother to three. Let's talk a little bit about you and how you got started in this business.
So what's interesting is when people say, like, how did you actually start teaching people how to generate referrals without asking? And I'm like, well, I would like to say it was a happy accident. And maybe a little bit of that is true. But the truth is, when I started my first business, it actually failed after a number of years. And one thing that I learned through that business failure was that I was going to have to figure out that business development piece. And I was going to have to figure out a way to make it work for me. And one thing I discovered was that I didn't actually receive really any referrals in my first business, even though I did quality work, even though I should have been receiving referrals. Like, I did everything right from that understanding of how referrals work. On some level, I actually didn't receive any. So I had to go get a corporate job. I went back to work for someone else. And then when I started my second business, I was like, okay, I need to figure out this business development thing. I think referrals is what I want to do. So I started researching. How do you get referrals? Like, what does it look like? And all the advice, about 99.9% of all the advice was, we'll just go ask. And if you won't ask for them, then something's wrong with you. And I was like, if that advice makes, like, oh, I don't know, completely made up statistic, 99% of us uncomfortable, or maybe 90% of us uncomfortable, why is that the only advice? And so I just was like, you know what? I understand why a referral happens, the human dynamic and the psychology behind it. There's just got to be a way to do this without asking. And so I really used my own business as the guinea pig because I needed it for myself. I could not go through another business failure. It was from sheer necessity. I built this business development strategy, so to speak, the sales strategy of referrals without asking, because I needed to make my own business successful. Turns out it doesn't just work for me. It has nothing to do with my personality or the line of business that I'm in. And as I started teaching it to my clients and they started having success with it, eventually my whole model of my business shifted to really be providing this training. I have an online program, of a podcast, as you mentioned, other ways that I can provide this information to people so that they too, if they want referrals and they don't want to ask, there is another option.
So as you know, most of our listeners are either marketing professionals at law firms or lawyers themselves. And as you probably know, a lot of the business that lawyers get is through referrals. So I thought this was a really great topic. And most lawyers are not necessarily comfortable asking for referrals. So I am really intrigued to hear how your method works and how it might be applied to the legal industry. You mentioned that how do you get referrals without asking? And you basically argue that every firm should have three different sales or business development plans. What are they and why do you feel this way?
So my guess is that most people have two of these three plans because it's kind of natural, though you may have not thought about it in this way. I mean, some do, but not all. So, but there's a third plan that I find that most people are missing, and it comes down to how they treat or how they expect to receive referrals. So the first plan that just about every firm will have is a marketing plan, right? They may even have a marketing team and they have people who obviously manage their website and SEO and thought leadership, content marketing. Maybe they do some publicity through PR. Maybe they also, you know, do advertising as well, but they do things that are specific in the marketing area that would be kind of considered, these are activities we do when we're marketing the firm. And they understand whether it's marketing themselves as an individual attorney within a firm, they are the firm, right? Or if it's just marketing the firm in general, they understand the mentality we have and the mindset we have when we're doing marketing activities is long range. It's building credibility. It is having people kind of come to know us almost organically, maybe through SEO and other and social media and other things. But it's this idea that people start seeing us, having that credibility factor, of course, that website so people can go find us. So it's that whole idea of like that long-term thinking. And from that marketing perspective, right, sometimes, you know, there can be that a little bit of that promotional side to it, kind of that marketing side to it. The second plan that most everybody has, they may not think about it like this, is their prospecting plan. And it's the prospecting plan where it's different from the marketing plan because the things we do in a prospecting plan is, well, I need to bring on 3 new cases this year, or I need to bring on 4 new clients this year. It's the what I like to call, I kind of need to eat tomorrow, right? Bills need to be paid, billable hours need to be met, revenue needs to be generated. And so that idea is that it's the things I do, like going to that networking event and hoping to meet somebody who wants to have a conversation about the work that I do and potentially hiring me. So it's that activity that we do that's more short term. It's more short range thinking. It's the things that we want to do to generate new clients, new cases in the short term. And so most people operate in both, right? They kind of have that long range thinking with, say, like, for example, their website for the marketing plan. And then that short range thinking, they're going to be networking at the Bar Association events because they hope to meet somebody else who can refer work to them, right? Or they have the potential of picking up work at a networking event. If their target market is, let's just say, small business owners, they go to a small business event and there's somebody there who needs business, you know, attention from a legal perspective. So we kind of operate in both areas. We kind of operate in this place of that prospecting, let's get it done now, let's bring in some new cases now, kind of a short term. And then there's the long-term strategy of marketing. The third plan that I argue that people need is also a referral plan. And the reason for this is when you think about how a referral happens, you have to understand the human dynamic and the psychology behind why a referral happens. To understand it kind of needs its own plan and its own set of activities, if you will. I always use air quotes, and I think it's so funny because you can't see them on a podcast, but the different activities that you would do that would actually generate referrals. And the reason why it's separate is because when we take referrals and we stick them into our prospecting plan, and we're in a prospecting mentality, which is let's make something happen now, short term, let's eat tomorrow, then the only advice that's been out there is, well, the short term thing we can do is ask for those referrals. So when we take referrals and we put it into prospecting, it means ask. When we take referrals and we put it into our marketing plan, it becomes this more promotional gimmicky thing. Let's write a book and send it out to 50 people and then they'll give it to 50 people and then that'll be great. And those people, you know, they'll refer people to us as they're handing out our book for us. It becomes more promotionally gimmicky. And if you understand why a referral happens, which means it actually has nothing to do with you as the person who is being referred, when you really understand why a referral happens, you recognize, well, it doesn't fit in either of those two categories. It's not, right, a prospecting activity. It's not a marketing activity. It's actually a process that where we build relationships with the people who are referring us or could be referring us. And we're building a relationship on an entirely different level than how most people look at actually bringing in new business and really building up relationships. So the referral side of it is just, it's entirely different from prospecting and marketing, which is why it needs its own plan and your own mindset that you bring to it when you're in it, because that's all about building relationships.
That's so interesting. So how do you refine the referral? Let's start there.
Yeah. So I think that's a great question because most people will hear the word referral and then we all kind of sort of have our own idea and maybe there's some overlap. It's really interesting to me when I talk to people about referrals and they'll say, oh, I'm 100% referral business. Like I hear that a lot when people, when I talk to people or they come across me like, oh, I get all my business from referrals. And I'm like, great. Tell me about the last 3 clients you brought on and the referrals from that. And then they'll start unpacking where those last 3 clients came from and they're not referrals. And so it's really understanding what a referral is so that you can actually truly call it a referral. So a referral has basically 2 things that any other type of lead generation or any other type of prospect will not have. And the first one is that there's always a personal connection. There is always somebody who knows somebody. So there's always somebody who I refer to as the referral source who knows what you do, right? And they trust you. And then they know someone who actually needs what you do. So they make the connection happen, because it's when they make the connection happen between that prospect who has a problem and you who can solve it, right? The trust that the referral source has for you, it's transferred to that prospect. And that trust can only be transferred when that connection is happening and when they understand, why am I being introduced? Why am I actually being connected to this attorney? Oh, that's right. Because Guy said he can solve my problems and I trust Guy. So that personal connection has to be there. The second piece that has to be there is that there has to be a need identified. I actually have to be in a buyer's mentality or a buying mentality before I'm even interested in talking to anyone about a problem. So if the need's been identified, typically it's a referral source who's either helped, right, this prospect say, actually, you know what you really need is you really actually need an attorney who can help you create, right, an operating agreement with your partners, right, so you won't be having these problems. Or the person will show up to the referral source and be like, I'm having a lot of problems with the partners in my firm, and we probably should have an operating agreement that we don't do ourselves, right? So I'm actually, you know, just looking at this from that perspective, it's like, okay, so I know you have a problem, or you've identified yourself that you have a problem, and I'm going to tell you who can solve it. And so if I have my need identified, right, at the end of the day, if I have my need identified and I've been connected to someone, that is a true referral, because at that moment, I know somebody that can solve my problem, and I trust them already because someone I really trust said I should trust them. And that is the true definition of a referral.
What is your philosophy on why referrals happen? You mentioned this earlier. Why do referrals happen?
So I think what people overlook is this whole idea of why referrals happen is because somebody has a need and somebody else wants to help them solve it. That's fundamentally why a referral happens. So if you want to be able to generate referrals, right, my philosophy is on our ability to generate referrals comes from this idea that referrals only come from relationships, which means you need to be able to build those relationships and maintain those relationships, which is typically done through connection, right? Actually, like having conversations with them and connecting with them. And the easiest way to put that into a system and a process we can keep up with so it doesn't overwhelm us is to make sure those connections are happening through touch points. And those touch points or that outreach that we're doing is scheduled, but I'm not talking about keeping in touch. I'm not talking about sending an email to everybody in your database every 30 days saying, hey, how are you? Hoping that they'll say, great, how are you doing? And then you can say, oh, well, I'm looking to bring on 3 new clients, right? I'm not talking about the keeping in touch, hey, how are you email or text message. What I'm talking about is outreach or touch points that truly build relationships with your referral sources so that your referral sources feel taken care of.
Can you give me an example of that? Like, that, what would that look like? What kind of outreach or connections? Just give me one or two examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think sometimes people overlook that people actually appreciate your time and that just spending time with them. Now, here's the thing. If you're like me, not all of your referral sources are going to be local, so you just can't spend time with all of them, right, whenever they would want to. But there is that concept of understanding that sometimes that time, whether you're hopping on a Skype call, right, and you're actually having a meaningful conversation, or you're going to take them to coffee or to lunch, and you're going to have a meaningful conversation about them, right, that's an easy one that typically doesn't cost you any money. Now, inside my program, Growth by Referrals, we talk about lots of different things that you could do. That would be the outreach that would make you memorable and meaningful and focused on the referral source and keep you top of mind, which are the three keys to really making sure that your referral plan works. Is it can't be keeping in touch, we've got to be top of mind. And so another idea could be, sometimes it may be, and I don't suggest this as like a main focal point, but for some, and if it works within your industry, and every industry is a little bit different, sometimes it could be the gift, right? It could be a gift that you send that, and we're going to do this in a way that we can actually processitize it. My word, I don't actually know if that's a real word, but we're going to processitize it inside our business so that we can execute on it. So it may not be trying to come up with individual gifts for 50 of our top referral partners, but it may be looking at those referral partners and saying, okay, these folks give me 3 or 4 cases a year. Let me do something for them, and paying attention to who they are collectively as a group. And it could be a gift. So let me give you a great example from a gift perspective. And I always hesitate to use a gift example because then I think people hear, oh, I just need to send gifts and I'll get referrals. And that is so not what I'm saying. There are many different types of things that you can do to maintain a relationship with someone. We talked about the gift of time, like face-to-face, You know, there's also the random thank you card. There's some things that you can email. Sometimes it's events. Sometimes it's guests. Like, there are different things you can do. But a gift example would be knowing who your referral sources are. Like, the way that I know who my referral sources are means that I know things about them. And so a couple years ago, when I was looking at my top referral sources, I happened to know that most of my referral sources are business owners who are also parents. Now, not all, about 80% are, but not all. But for the 80% that are, then I looked at those that were my top referral sources, and I decided to, I wanted to recognize Mother's Day and Father's Day, which is off guard. No one's expecting it. Everybody expects the Christmas gift, right? I mean, it just kind of, the baskets kind of just show up in mass, right, at Christmas time. So you can find a way to be memorable and meaningful just by going against what everybody else does. But showing up on Mother's Day for my top referral sources, and I sent them a Wonder Woman water bottle. And this is before the movie came out, so I feel like I was ahead of the curve. But in terms of the trend, I'm not a trendsetter, so it was the only time in my life I felt like a trendsetter. But a Wonder Woman water bottle that I sent to them, that on the card it very specifically said, "Never forget you are a hero. Happy Mother's Day, Stacey." And when they removed that card from that water bottle, what they were left with was just a Wonder Woman water bottle. My logo wasn't on the bottom. My name wasn't on the back of it. There wasn't any sticker attached to it, so they would know, Stacey sent this to you. But it was a memorable and a meaningful touch point at a time of year when most people aren't recognizing them. And what it said to them is, well, Stacey sees me and Stacey cares about me. Now, in that moment, that card did not plant a referral seed. But a number of our touch points throughout the year, those connection touch points we want to do, that outreach we want to do, it would plant a referral seed. So we can start getting into their subconsciousness of how we want them to think about us. But we never ask. We just use the right language that plants those seeds. But you don't have to do it with every single touch point you do. But I find sometimes when I do a touch point where I don't, it has just as big of an impact. So, I mean, that's a couple of examples. But one specifically from a gift perspective, that when they received it, right, it was different. It was unique. It was memorable and it was meaningful, which means it had impact. And years later, they still remember who sent them their Wonder Woman water bottle. And that's what we're talking about in terms of moving into the subconsciousness of your referral sources, because they know you care. And how you decide to show that you care really comes down to the person. And that's why we customize these inside my program, so that everybody has their own touch point plan. Because some people think gifts, you know, that's not their love language, and they think that's really chintzy and they'd never send them. So there's other things to do. But the point is that we've got to be authentic to ourselves, but do what our referral source would actually ultimately want.
So what do you think is the foundation to be able to receive referrals?
So it's really interesting. I think people overlook this so many times. And I say it and they're like, well, duh. But like, what I mean is not as easy as saying it as actually executing on it. And that is making sure that you have a sticky client experience. And what I mean by a sticky client experience is, I mean a client experience where your clients will stick around, meaning they'll be repeat clients because they love the value that you delivered and the work that you delivered on. They'll talk positively about you in the marketplace from a brand reputation perspective because you made them feel like a person, like a human. And so they felt cared for. You built a relationship with them. And then ultimately, when someone feels like they would go back to you for work again, if that's possible, even if it's not possible, but if they could, they would, and they're willing to talk about you, that's when you can start generating referrals from them. And that client experience, there's two parts to this formula. There's the work that you do, and then there's the relationship that you build. If you think of everything in a touch point mechanism, so you have work touch point, right? The redlining of the agreement that you send to them to review, right? The negotiation that happens with the other side, right? Like, if you think about the work you do, you pretty much can identify those. But it's paying attention to, how do I infuse little drops of relationship touch points throughout that client experience so they feel cared for and not like their attorney is ignoring them, even though I'm working really hard and I have no idea. Sometimes it's just shifting how we communicate or how our team communicates on our behalf that allows them to feel taken care of, and that creates that relationship side of that sticky client experience.
I thought you were going to say trust, because I think the foundation of pretty much any relationship is trust. But I guess in a sense, you're saying that, right? If you're in the work environment that you're mentioning, you know, that they trust your work, they maybe have seen your work firsthand, whether it's for them or someone within their business. So they're trusting you to be able to help whomever they're introducing you to. And then obviously, you know, friendship or that personal relationship as well, is sort of set up on trust. So, but I like your approach. I think it's a really good approach. And I think it's definitely something that attorneys sometimes struggle with. They try to keep it very transactional and, you know, going that extra step and really investing in the personal aspect of the relationship, if at all possible, I think would take them a long way.
It would. And you know, it's interesting. I always tell this to folks, you know, when they're just, you know, paying attention to what they hear me talk about from a referral perspective, or if they're inside my program, I always say, you know, what I teach isn't rocket science. It's the things we actually know, but we really fail to execute on because one of two things, and you hit one of them, because we're really, really busy and we just overlook the things that would matter. And if we could, and we have a whole module inside the program where we actually automate and delegate and processitize, so to speak, this process so that we actually execute on it. And that means sometimes we're delegating and sometimes we're doing it ourselves, but there's this ability to make it a process because we're busy and we're more than likely going to overlook it in favor of, right, that billable hour we need to put in. And the other part of that is that we just forget. Like, we know this is what we should be doing. We know this is how business started. And if we think back to when we first got started and we started building up a network, we were focused on building relationships with people. And then as our practice grew, right, and we started taking on more cases and we kind of got busier, we kind of fall into a rhythm and almost a rut, like, where we just go looking for the easy button for anything and everything because we feel so overwhelmed and so busy. And I always tell folks, you got to step back and think about it. If you bring in, let's just say for sake of an argument, because I like round numbers to make things easy on myself. If you bring in 10 cases, right, 10 new clients with 10 cases a year, and that's your goal, and you have to work really, really hard for all 10 of those because they're not being referred to you, think about all the time you're spending networking, one-on-one coffees, right? Maybe doing some social media, maybe doing some content marketing, like all these things you're doing to put yourself out there, where if half of those came through referral, that immediately eliminates all that work. And what you get to focus in on is to taking care of those people who are referring to you so that they can refer more people in the future. It's not complicated. Nothing I teach is rocket science, but I do teach it in a way where you can actually execute on it.
All right, so let's get down to your methodology. What are your 5 steps to generate referrals without asking?
So the good news is, I always tell folks, is when you're thinking about these 5 steps, they aren't going to be complicated, but the first and third are going to have a little bit of work. So I'm going to just go ahead and put that disclaimer out there. So the first one is to identify who refers you now. I call it IDing the who. Who are your referral sources? You may have to go back and look at your past clients and past cases and uncover who they are if you're not capturing this information in a CRM. But it's that ability to go back and figure out, okay, who are my referral sources? And then once you know who your referral sources are, okay, then we understand, okay, when we build, right, that outreach plan for an entire year, when we build it, we know who we're building it for. So I always tell folks, though, before we can build out an outreach plan, we need to make sure that we can actually properly thank for the referrals when we do receive them. So I always say step 2 is just have an immediate follow-up process to send a thank you note, not an email, not a phone call. You can do those because they're fast and someone will see it immediately that you recognize you received a referral. But pull out a note card and jot down a thank you note. It's one of the opportunities where you can plant referral seeds just by thanking them for who they referred to. And it has so much more impact than I think people pay attention to in terms of how it makes someone feel when they receive a thank you card that you took time to write. But the idea behind it is, why should I send you more if you can't properly thank me for the one I just sent? So step 2, which is that thank you follow-up process. Step 3 is where we build our referral generating plan, that 1-year plan we're going to build of that outreach. And we're going to know who we're doing it for. Are we categorizing these people? What does it look like? How are we going to execute on it? Do we have a budget for it? Like, we kind of figure out all those pieces and the meat and potato of the process, which is step 3. Step 4, though, is the secret sauce that makes step 3, the meat and potatoes, actually work or taste good, so to speak. And step 4 is the language that we use. We do need to plant referral seeds, and we do need to make sure that we want them thinking about us in a referral way, but we don't want to be direct with an ask, right? We want to weave the language in as part of our normal conversation, normally what we'd write in a card, normally how we would have a conversation with them over coffee if we're meeting face-to-face. So we have dozens and dozens of scripts inside the program where I talk about, what does this look like to be normal? At the end of the day, this language needs to be normal. It needs to be conversational. And of course, it doesn't work, or what's the point? So step 4 is the language we use with those touch points and that outreach and when we're having conversations with our referral sources so that we sound normal, but also start putting referrals into their subconscious of how they think about us. And then step five is, even though our referral sources need to be thanked and they need to have an experience full of touch points where we use the right language, they do need an experience. Yes, our referral sources need an experience, but we need a process because we are busy and we need to make sure that we actually execute on this. Because if I had delivered that Mother's Day Wonder Woman water bottle on Labor Day, it would not have mattered or have nearly as much impact.
I love it. I love it. All right. So unfortunately, we are out of time. I feel like I could speak to you all day. You have wonderful ideas and advice. Before we go, is there one actionable takeaway that you can leave with our audience or something you forgot to mention?
So, you know, I always tell folks that go back to identifying who your referral sources are, and that'll help you know, do you need to be taking better care of them once you know who they are? And do you need more referral sources? And I have this great 9-question quiz on my website. Just go to stacybrownrandall.com/quiz. Stacy does have an E. But if you go and take that quiz, it'll actually, in those 9 questions, give you a level as to how you are at your ability to generate referrals. I think knowing where we start and then where we want to go is such an important roadmap to create from the beginning before we just dive in and try to make something better. Let's figure out, how good are we at generating referrals now? And do we need a roadmap to get better at it? And that quiz kind of helps you assess it.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Stacy. It's really been great having you on the show, and maybe we'll invite you back. So for those of you that want to get in touch with Stacy, we will put Stacy's website, her LinkedIn, and her Twitter handle on the show notes. Stacy, I'm imagining that people can go to your website to find out about your book and also sign up for your podcast.
Yes, they can. Everything's on stacybrownrandall.com.
Excellent. All right. And thank you, everyone, for listening to today's show. As always, if you enjoy the show and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. There you'll be able to subscribe so that you can make sure that you don't miss any shows. You can also check out some past shows that we've had. And with that, we'll leave it alone. Stacy, thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today.